Chapter 18. Owen. I watch from my perch on the hill as the slaves busy themselves with their daily chores. The oppressive sun beats down overhead, making the parched land appear to shimmer, and in the scrub brush all around me, insects chirp and flit around in the hot, dry air. Over 2 weeks have passed since coming to the slave camp, and we're still no closer to getting back inside the Ark of Radiance than the day we arrived. Picking up a stone, I toss it down the hill and watch as it tumbles to the bottom, kicking up dust. I feel so useless, I think glumly. There's not much to do except wait for Zara to learn how to communicate with these people. She's made progress since coming here, but it's been painfully slow. She spends every waking moment speaking with them, scratching her notes on bits of shale and trying to decipher their strange alien language. Admittedly, she's well-equipped to the task. Although many of the people are still wary of us, there are some who have started to warm up to her, sharing their food and resources with us as a result. I, on the other hand, feel like I'm going mad with boredom. I keep busy with exercise, practicing the various fighting stances I learned from Elias, but one can only do such things for so long. The days seem to drag on, and at times it feels like I'm going to go mad. I've even debated laboring with the slaves themselves, hauling rocks or breaking stones with their primitive tools, but aside from the youths, no one in the camp seems to want anything to do with me. I might as well be a gorgon for the way they're looking at me. The one bright spot in all this is the fact that our basic necessities have all been met. We no longer need to worry about food or shelter, and the demons haven't returned since that day the girl was taken. Still, I think, picking up another stone and tossing it, it'd be nice to have a purpose in all of this. Sighing, I decide to make the long hike back to the slave camp to check on some sinews curing in the tent. The trail down is steep, but I manage it well enough, navigating past the thorny bushes and jagged boulders on my descent. Nearby, a half-dozen slaves load stones into a wagon moving sluggishly in the heat of the sun. As I traverse the uneven terrain, a new thought enters my mind, sparked by a story I'd heard when I was just a boy. The Legion of Light, the fabled army that sacrificed itself fighting the R'hllar so the Ark of Radiance could be created, had fought in hills just beyond the borders of Tarsinium. I wonder if this is where they made their last stand. Could the great general Lucadar have set foot on this very hill himself? The realization makes me shiver. As I make my way back into the tent, the long-haired youth, who we'd first met, rushes up to greet me. His eyes, wide and dark, dart from my face down to the makeshift dagger on my belt, a look of respect passing across his sun-tanned features. He says something excitedly, falling into step beside me as I weave through the maze of tents. "I don't know what you're saying," I reply, walking faster in an attempt to outpace him. He speeds up as well, staying beside me with little trouble. He continues speaking, this time saying the words slower, like it somehow might help me understand. Then he attempts to grab my arm. I spin, snatching his wrist and twisting his arm out of the way, rendering his grasp useless. He yelps in surprise, and every slave in the vicinity stops what they're doing to stare at me. Instead of anger, though, the youth looks up at me in amazement, something resembling adoration entering his eager eyes. Embarrassed by my reaction, I immediately release him and take a step back. "Sorry," I mumble, abashed. "I thought..." "Never mind." The boy gazes down at his arm reverently, then back up at me, a big grin splitting his face. He says something softly, then places his hand on his chest. "Yari." It takes me a moment before I understand. "Is that your name?" Still smiling, he repeats the word. "Yari." "Yari," I reply, nodding. Then, pointing at my own chest, I say, "Owen." "Owen," he says, accenting the end of my name. An odd understanding passes between us as we stand there, regarding one another. This one's a fighter, I realize, recognizing the fire in his dark eyes. That's why he's always following me around, because I actually know how to defend myself. For an instant I feel a strange camaraderie with him, his earnestness reminding me of myself as a new apprentice. But the feeling passes a few seconds later and I clear my throat uncomfortably. Probably best if I stay clear. He'll only wind up getting himself and others killed. Well, I say, nodding to him awkwardly. Nice to meet you, Yari. Now I need to be off. I begin walking again toward my tent. He follows me, his chest puffed out as he tries to emulate my every movement. Stopping, I turn and level a finger at him. No, I say forcefully as I point down. You stay. I go alone. Understand? Comprehension flashes in his eyes, followed quickly by frustration. He mutters something, then storms off, disappearing between some tents. I blow out a breath, then shrug it off. Can't get too close to these folks, I think, resuming my walk. We still don't know how much we can trust them. And what happens when the R'hllar come back here again? If they find us, it's over. So much for trying to return home. And who knows how much time we have left to make it back before they bring their might to Tarsinium's doorstep. If we can even get there, that is. Thankfully, the way to my tent is clear, and I make it back without suffering any more interruptions. Pulling open the flap, I step inside, my eyes taking a few moments to adjust to the gloom. Zara is off mingling with the Wastelanders, as she calls them, and so the tent is empty except for our meager assortment of possessions. Rough-spun blankets are spread out on the dirt floor, along with a few primitive personal grooming implements and a bowl of water. Water is scarce out here in the wastes, but Zara somehow managed to secure us with enough for washing. On the far side of the tent rests a contraption of my own design. It resembles a loom, having spindly lengths of wood lashed together with fibrous cords. It stands about waist high and currently holds two items I've been working on, a makeshift bow and a string. I was able to find the sapling growing on the slope of one of the nearby hills. Really, it's no more than the stem of an overgrown thorn bush, but it should serve its purpose well enough when it's finished. The vise I created holds it slightly bent, shaping the wood into something resembling an actual bow. The string is held taut between two sticks. It runs the length of my arm and is tough and rubbery. I'd fashioned it out of the sinews of a strange cow-like animal that the slaves had slaughtered for food. Zara was intrigued by the discovery of a new species, but I was more interested in the tendons in its leg, cutting them out and threading them together to create this string. I approach the apparatus and pluck the string, nodding in satisfaction at its elasticity. It's nothing compared to the composite bowstring of my ranger's longbow, but it'll suffice. The bow also seems to be faring well. Its surface has hardened significantly from the fire treatments I've been giving it, but it still remains supple enough to be springy. Uncorking a clay flask, I rub a bit of oil along the bow shaft, working the stuff into every groove and seam. The slaves use the odd-smelling oil for cooking, but I had the idea to utilize it to cure the wood. It'll be ready soon enough, I think, recorking the flask and settling down cross-legged on the floor. At least then I'll be able to breathe a little easier, knowing I'm fully armed. I set myself to the mindless task of crafting arrowheads, grinding them down against a flat rock. I'd gathered a bunch of stones in the hills, choosing only those with the glassy texture of obsidian. They're brittle, but wickedly sharp. My mind wanders as I work, pondering over the various tasks still left for me to do, grateful for these few things to keep my hands busy. I'll need to find some arrow shafts. Maybe those reeds in the valley a few hills over will suffice. My biggest challenge will be finding feathers to create fletching. I haven't seen a single bird since we've been exiled. Fletchings are extremely important for the flight of an arrow. Creating them will prove to be a challenge. There has to be something out here that I can use. The spines of a thorn bush, perhaps? They're rigid, but perhaps I can soften them with some of that oil. That is, if I can even figure out a way to attach them to the shaft. I work late into the afternoon, grinding down the stones until I have a suitable collection of arrowheads. When that's finished, I stretch my stiff limbs before heading out to see if I can find some shafts. Zara can learn their language all she wants, I think, stepping back out into the blistering sunlight. But without weapons, we're never getting out of here. All the diplomacy in the world isn't going to change that. I'm content to be the muscle that protects her, because one way or another this'll come down to a fight with the demons. When that happens, I'll be ready. With that thought in mind, I set out once more into the hills, the concerned eyes of the slaves following me.